Bill said earlier. And I know that we can do it at home, but, and I know that we've got homecoming coming up, revival starting. But we need to search our hearts out and ask ourselves, do we need a touch from God? I do. I need a touch for God. I need revival. I need for Him to stir my heart. And I know that you really want revival. You want to see the church go forward. And it may seem like that we haven't, maybe we haven't done a whole lot since we've been here. But you know what? There was an individual that went 40 years and had no sign of anybody getting saved. Had a sign that where nobody would even listen to him, basically. So today and time that we're living in, I think it's happening today also. It's happening today among us as Christians, and we can look at that two ways tonight. We can look at it as where the Lord has not finished His work here. There's some more souls out here need to be saved. Some more souls out here need to that has been saved, isn't got a had the fellowship of God. But I think we need to get back to where, and me and Brother James were discussing that yesterday, that we don't even need to really worry about the world, because there's nothing we can do about it. The only thing that we can do, we can just pray. And James made a statement that, and I kind of in a way agree with him. He said, you know, sometimes when we go to prayer and when we pray for somebody, we pray in a nice way for the individual. But he said, I think what we need to do, we need to start praying to say, God, every what it takes for you to get to our attention. Every what it takes to get them back in the house of God. Every what it takes to see this sinner out here get saved. Every what it takes, God, you know exactly what it takes. We don't. We have done our very best. We've tried. But it seems like that every time we try, it seems like that we are backing up instead of going forward. But he says, I'm going to start praying, Lord, you know them. You know the heart. You know the condition, you know exactly what it's going to take to get the individual saved or get that backslidden individual back in church where they done lost the first love. And he says that means that, you know, whatever it takes, you do your part. You know, and then thinking about all of that, we think about, you know, different things that in the Bible, the the wayward son and the Samaritan lady and all of them and the individual that was brought before Jesus to be stoned. And what did what did they do? They wanted to stone her. What did Jesus ask them? You sin. You cast the first stone. You know, we sometimes we wonder if we are right. Sometimes we wonder if we are doing right. You did. All right. All right. This thing just as long as ain't a 3:45 clicking. I'm pointing up here. Oh me. But you know, I'm so thankful that God knows exactly what it's going to take to touch the hearts of the individual. And He does know what it's going to take. And sometimes it takes drastic measures. I don't know if any of you have heard about that. I think it's that's coming out. I think it's already done come out and it's at the theaters now. But it's speaking about the rapture, is what it's speaking about. But everything that I've seen and all the previews that I've seen on the internet and on TV and everything, I'll tell you what. It really would be worthwhile for anybody to go see, because they bring it up to today in time that we're living in. You give out scripture about what that's going to happen. You know, there's two witnesses that's going to be seen all over the world. And you say, how can that be? That's just like one of them said on that, says, reached in the side of his side and picked up an iPhone. Turned it on. And he could see it. He could see exactly what was happening around the world. You know, and Bill, I know you can remember, and all of us can remember, even anybody that any time has ever worked on with, has even done anything with a computer at all, or iPhone, or anything like that we could go back 20 years, we could go back 10 years, 15 years. We can go back as far as just 5 years. And we would not even think that we could do the things that we do today. To where we could sit right here in Danville, Virginia, and we could speak to someone across the world in a split second. Just time enough for the phone to ring. We couldn't have done that years ago. So, what's going to happen? I believe that everyone is going to see the return of what's happening. And the return. Some people say, "Well, no, they're not going to experience the return of the Lord Jesus. because they're not saved. You're right, they're not saved. The ones that's not saved, they're not going to recognize it. But the ones that are saved, we're going to be driving down the highway. And the way my wife talks about me and my driving, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it don't happen today with me. But we could be driving down the highway, and all of a sudden, we're done. So I don't want people, we're not going to take time, we're not going to have time to even take time to pull the car over to the side. Might be out here on the interstate somewhere, running 65, 70, 75 miles an hour. And I can take it over. You think you're going to be able to pull over this battery? You're talking about chaos. You're talking about something happening in the world that is going to be a scene that nobody else is going to experience. I never had flew on an airplane except for my cousin that one time, and I thought that I'd never get on another one. But instead of going into all of that, I always go back. What scripture in the Bible speaks about? He is low with me. In other words, what he's telling me is, I don't need to be in no sky. I don't need to ride no plane. And I look at this way also. I don't know what your condition is in the college. In the coast. It's not the way you can get from me. They could be saved, and then that day they could be, something went haywire in their life and everything, and then they could just curse God out. And then the next thing you know, he'd explain the other thing. I don't want no blame. If I start up, I want to keep all the way up. Until I get home. When I get home, then I'll stop right there. Because that's as far as I want to go. Somebody asked me, says, well, why do you read and why do you preach or why do you study the King James Bible? I said, well, I look at this way. Back in August of 1980, three men come to my house. They was telling me about the Lord Jesus Christ, and I was lost. I was wicked. I said, I wasn't like some of these other people out here running around on their wife and I ended up drunk all the time. I wasn't one of my people, but I was still lost. And I said, when they came, when they showed me the Word of God how to be saved, they told me to be saved. I said, well, come to find out, this King James book has been taken for all of the days. No other. I don't know what that word is. I hope.
But.
That's all right. Praise God. It could be the devil out here. Hey, that's all right. But, you know, it's not going to be long. And praise God, he could come back before Sunday. He could come back before the night is over. He could come back. We can all gather down here Monday night. The revival just had start, and Brother Paul can get up there, because as soon as Brother Paul gets up here,
we can get a sweet from. And then we are going to have revival. And that revival won't last just a week or two, but it'll last for eternity. You know, I don't know if,
I don't believe he mentioned it Monday night. But while we was over there, Brother Bill, the Greg Lynch and Brother James Apple was telling me about this yesterday.
Brother Greg just came out of a 4.5 week revival. That's unheard of. Not unless you find your way in charismatics and all them, all that out here, and they get a hooking and a hollering and all that. They ain't worshiping the Lord. He just comes out of it. 4.5 weeks without it. And he told him, said, I wish you had called me the first week. I'd have just got somebody to fill in for my church. If I had any kind of indication you're going to be down there, because I sure would have loved to be in there. Would you like to be in a 4.5 week revival? I would love to have to, I would love to be in a 2 week continuous revival. And that's what it's going to take for us to be revived. We need to be revived. We need to be revived to the point that that center right side has pierced our hearts so much and we're concerned about them that we want, that we'll stop anywhere. We'll pull over the side of the road and start praying for it. And we can then we'll take off and then we'll go a little fall and everything, and then we might pass somebody else walking up the road. We can have such a revival in our life and on our heart that we'd pull over right then and pray for them. And I know where it starts at. It starts with me. It starts with us as Christians. That's what I want for my life. I want an old-fashioned, Holy Ghost, blood-bought revival. The way the people will get up in here and say, the devil's going to come in here, so we're going to kick him out, and they get up and start kicking him out. We need to kick the devil out. And when we see somebody in the church that's doing, that seems like it's bringing controversy within the church, then I think that's a time that somebody within the church needs to go and talk to them. We don't need to continue allowing things to happen in the church the way it's going to bring consequences or trouble, because that's what the devil is there for. He is there. The devil does not want this church to grow no more strong. The devil, he don't want no more than what's here tonight. And he's going to do what he can to work on them, the ones that we've come. And when we're reading the Bible, praying in the last 2 or 3 weeks. God, open my prayer. Open my prayer, God, for me. I don't want to be a dried up Christian. And I don't know, Brother Bill, Sister Donna, maybe. But that one individual that can meet the question of the church. Each time you come to the church, you don't have to be in the church. You can go and see him on his job. And all you have to do is say, Jesus, heal the soul coming in your life. Give the air soul blood. I mean, that's the way he is. That's the way he works it. I mean, man, that Monday night, he was just a sod. And they banned old Brother Greg. Lynch, he told Brother James, you're be standing in front of me. Went over there and got Brother James. Brother James, you're standing over here. He said, Brother James, you're going to be deep. Where we're trying to go to, but I don't know if we got to it or not, but I'll tell you one thing. It was good. It was good. It was good. I've got it. I told him. Going along with him while I'm bringing this up.
I got a tape of his that I bought, a DVD that I bought of his. Back in March, I believe it was. In March. And the name of the CVO, the message and everything, the rapture. And I told him last night, the CD is in and out. I don't even think the CD will even come out. Because I played it so much. I don't know what I'm going to do when I get ready to change. Because I don't even know if it even come out. But every time I get in a car, it's on. I play it. Talking about the rapture. I know the word rapture is not in the Bible, but the catching away is. The catching away, the caught up. We're going home one day. Hallelujah, I'm going home. I'm going to go home, but I ain't got to get no automobile like I'm going to get in tonight and go back to 465 Jenny Lane. Hallelujah. I'm going to take a heavenly flight then. I'm going to go from this place here in Danville, Virginia, into the third heaven where Jesus is sitting there on the throne. I'm not going to have no automobile. I'm not going to have no dollar bills or nothing in my pocket. I'm going to get that footprint that I can help you on. I believe this split second he's talking about. I'm talking about when the trumpet sounds, before he probably just did the same thing he's in here. That's me, that's the way I think about it, but that's, hey. Sorry.
But there's a touch of salvation. There's a touch of salvation that has been on the people. And he has also given us a touch of service. You can find all of this in the Matthew chapter 17 through 1 through 7 and on down. But it's talking about the touch from the Master. The Master's touch. Who is the Master? The Messiah's touch. There's also a touch of separation.
Church of separation separates us from the world. Separate us from the sin that is out here. We can find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves for all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. And we cannot perfecting holiness. We will not ever have the holiness of God on our life if we're dabbling in the world. It won't happen if we dabble with sin. And that's what he's speaking about, being separated. Our life needs to be separated from the life that we're walking, from the life that we used to walk. The Master's touch. There's a touch of separation. There's also a touch of strength. Who gives us strength every day? You think that
strength just comes up out of the ground and gives me strength to be able to walk around? You believe that something just comes up out of the ground and touches my bald spot to where I can speak today? You think something just comes out of the ground and touches my eyes that I may see? Think something just comes out of the ground and touches my ears to where I can hear and know? It's nothing like that at all. It's a touch from the Master. One time in my life, I was praying every morning, and I prayed in the last, six, 7 months. I haven't prayed this year, and I need to get back to it. I always pray. Lord, lead me. Touch me, God, stop. Let my eyesight may see all of you here. Touch my ears, and my ears will hear from thee when I read the Word of God. Touch my feet and my legs, the way I can travel, I can go and tell somebody else about you. Just touch me, Lord. Just touch this tongue of mine. That will nothing come out of my mouth that's praise and honor and glory. We're with you. And it's hard. I mean, when you're dealing with the world, it's hard to do that. It really is. But see, God knows exactly who we're going to face tomorrow. God knows exactly what we're going to face tomorrow. So what we must start doing today, this evening, tonight, and even right before we go to bed, we must ask the Lord God Almighty to touch us in a way that where when we go and when we face our enemies tomorrow, and we're going to face them, one way or another, we're going to face some enemies tomorrow. That when we face our enemies, then He will give us strength to deal with. See, another thing, too, speaks about the Word of God. So we've got to ask. We can ask for that hedge of protection, and when it is, that hedge of protection goes all around us. Around the system. Back up. And if he does happen to wiggle his way into a life, just claim the blood and he'll flee. He don't like the blood. He can't stand the blood.
He's got to flee. There is a touch of supreme satisfaction. We can be satisfied with who? The Lord Jesus. We can't be satisfied with the devil because the devil's here to harm us. The devil's not here to love us. Oh yeah, you may think it did, and we may think that that's the Lord speaking to us. You know the devil, he ain't going to tell me that he loves me and he cares for me. He ain't going to tell me that. But Jesus will. There's one thing. Satan does know better than any scholar, better than any theologian, better than Paul and all the old prophets of old.
Church is full of them. You see, that's the way Satan wants to do it. He wants to deceive. He's a deceiver, he's a devourer, he's a liar. And he's the father of all lies. He says the truth is not in him. He don't know anything about the truth.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus.
Father, for what you have said to me tonight, I pray. Father, that you'll take each and every word. Father, that you'll put it in the right order to whether individuals get or not. That you can give to them in a way that they can understand what you are trying to say to our hearts. And Lord, and I know, Father, that I probably put it like that in a way the way that the people wouldn't understand it. And Father, I'm asking Lord now that you help us with our people. Help us, Father, in the days ahead. Help us, Father, for the upcoming revival, Lord. Father, where we can be revived. Father, we pray, Lord Jesus, that some soul that would come in, Father, and they would finally realize that they never have accepted Jesus Christ. Father, they've not accepted him as a personal soul. Yes, he can be personal too. And Father, you need to be personal to them. And they need to ask you to be personal to them. They need to ask you to be the Lord of the life. So, Father, we expect something great.
this coming Sunday. We're expecting something great Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And during the revival each and every day, Father, we expect that you will pour out a blessing that, Father, that where we have never experienced, maybe in this lifetime. And Father, we do not know what you have for us, but Lord, you know, Lord, that you have something special for God to do this week.